It's good to be back at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pastor and I were talking there a little bit ago. 23 years running we've been doing this, and I look forward every year to coming up and gotten to know a good bunch of you, and I'm grateful for that. Thank the Lord for your kindness to us all the way around, and Bob and Kim are keeping me taken care of while we're here. They've got a nice place and staying there, and I always enjoy that. And through the year, through the year, my allergies are still with me, by the way. Through the year, I've been to a bunch of places. I tell people once in a while, they'll ask me, you know, where you been? I say, well, I've either been to or through everything from Daylight, Indiana. You probably know where that is, just south of you here a little ways. From Daylight, Indiana to Hot Coffee, Mississippi. From Accident, Maryland. Real town, just waiting to happen. To Big Ugly, West Virginia. And a lot of other places, you know. I know you all talk about Jasonville being a small town. It's really a big town compared to some of the places I just mentioned. But anyway, a lot of interesting places out around the country. And I'm delighted that I get to come to Blessed Hope once in a while. Thank you all for being so good to us. Acts chapter 9. You know, when I opened the Bible to Acts, the book of Acts, 28 chapters of it, and I hesitate a little bit to say, because I don't want to pit one part of the Bible against another. But at the same time, there are at least three chapters in the book of Acts that are huge. They're just huge. Any way you slice it, they're just big. Namely, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, that annual feast day that followed the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Big deal there. Foreign Jews coming in from a bunch of places. The Lord gifted those folks in the Jerusalem church, 120 of them. He gifted them with the ability to preach the gospel in languages they hadn't studied. And 3,000 of those foreigners, most of the 3,000 were probably foreigners, probably not all, but most, were saved. Big chapter. Well, if you jump over to chapter 15, there's another just absolutely huge chapter. Now, you would have thought that that Jerusalem church, with the most of them, of that 120 being Jews, maybe all of them, you would have thought, had they really been listening to Jesus, that they would not have had any trouble sorting some of this stuff out. But a big... it was a racial issue. Popped up. Question is, okay, hey, we know the Jews can get saved, but are you telling me these Gentiles can get saved? So, you know what they had to do? They had to have a church business meeting. Now, I'll be very frank with you. I had the privilege to be pastor for a long time. And among the things that I did as pastor, business meetings were not high on my list. I mean, I was famous for putting them off. You know, I just, now you got to have one once in a while, you know, every 5 years or so. But anyway, maybe a little more. But anyway, they had to have a business meeting. And I've been in some business meetings where things didn't come out like they should have. But in Acts 15, they did. They got it settled. Yes, the Gentiles can be saved. Now, they wanted them to shape some things up, which they needed to shape up. So, big chapter. But right along with chapter 2 and chapter 15, we've got chapter 9. And chapter 9 is the story of the conversion of one man. One man. Not 3,000, Not 4,000, not 5,000, but one man. And, you know, you say, well, it's only one guy. Yeah, I know. But this guy was he was a big player. And he was a bad character. Now, let's read a little bit. Chapter 9 of Acts, verse 1, and Saul. Now, this is Saul of Tarsus. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. What he's getting here are warrants. What in America we call John Doe warrants. They're warrants that you can use to arrest people, but the name slot on it's blank. We'll fill that in later. John Doe warrants. Letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of that way, if he found any of that way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, from verse 3 and following, several verses tell about when he's on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus. And I don't know, 80 miles, 70 miles, something like that. He has a miraculous encounter with God. And Saul, who has been creating havoc for the Christians and even killing some of them, he immediately recognizes that God is dealing with him. And my guess is he's been under conviction standing around watching the slaughter of Stephen and some others. And he's been hearing some of these Christians, how they've behaved. And it's put him under great conviction. But whatever my guess on that, right or wrong, he immediately responds to the situation, and he's converted here on the road. And dropping down to verse 10, we meet a man named Ananias in Damascus. The Lord's prepared to be a mentor to him and help him get himself discipled a little bit, get him headed right. And Ananias is not so happy that the Lord wants him to do that. He said, Lord, I've heard about this guy, man. He has been bad. He's here to create trouble for us. And the Lord said, look, he's a chosen vessel. You do what I'm telling you. Things are going to be okay. Now, we ought to stop here and just give Ananias some commendation because he did what the Lord told him. And it's not but a little bit. You get to verse 18, and Saul gets baptized. This is a big deal. It's one thing for him to come to Christ, get saved, but now he's going public with it, which is what baptism is about. It's about taking a stand and declaring that you are indeed a Christian and you don't mind people knowing that you're standing with the Lord. And Saul of Tarsus, very quickly now, within a day or two or three, maybe he is getting baptized. And verse 20 says, and straightway, without any delay, immediately, he's preaching Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, you talk about a guy going from bad to good. Talking about a guy who comes out of the darkness into the light. He has done that, and now he is standing up to be counted. Verse 21 says, all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which were at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So the very people for whom he had been working and with whom he had been working, those people said, he has betrayed us. He has joined that other crowd, and there's only one thing to do, and that is eliminate him. And so they set about to kill him. You drop down a little bit, and the disciples pitched in and helped him, rescued him there, verse 25 and following. You get down to verse 29. He's again speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputing against the Grecians And guess what? They went about to kill him. So he's got two different crowds here that's ready to kill him. Now, you get over toward the end there in near the end of the chapter, verse 31 says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Holy Ghost, the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." So the conversion of one man, Christians in Judea, in Galilee, and Samaria, they all got relief because of the conversion of one man. Now, this man, Saul, he had a proud heritage. There's other places in the Bible where he recites that he was a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he was very proud of the fact that he was a Jew. And we also have pretty good evidence that he had an elite education. This man was well-tutored. And he had gained a prominent position. I mean, he is the point man for the Sanhedrin. That's kind of like the Jewish Supreme Court. He's the point man for them, and he's out rambling around over the country. And what's he doing? Well, he's after Christians and trying to shut down the churches. And, he's just into it in a big way. And no doubt this man's making a very successful livelihood out of this. He's not doing this without getting paid for it. And they're taking care of him well, and he's well known, not just among the Christians, but he's got a measure of fame because of this. And the reputation is not good. So you've got his heritage, his education, his position, his livelihood, his fame, all of those things. People look at it and they say, man, this guy's something. But he was a lost man. In spite of the religion of the Jews, he was lost. And it appears he was an angry man. He was hostile, belligerent toward the Christians, very confrontational, militant, and orchestrating mayhem, and even committing murder. I mean, you just got to say, this guy is a bad character. He took charge, once getting this position, he took charge of things and began to purge out Christians, basically weaponized the Sanhedrin. I'm sure you've heard of that. Weaponizing. Yeah, you have. That's what he's doing. And verse 1 says, putting out threatenings, that's intimidation, and slaughter, that's actually killing people. And with those warrants in hand, John Doe warrants, he went to Damascus. Here's another thing you've probably heard of. He went looking for a crime. Nobody knew whether there'd been one or not, but he went looking for one. Now, then came the day of his conversion. I mean, you look at this guy and you just can't imagine. But on the road to Damascus, he had a life-changing conversion. I mean, what a trip this turned out to be. I mean, here he is, lost, hell-bound, into all kinds of ugly mischief, and he comes to Christ. I mean, salvation without price, no price on it, not having to demonstrate works or any kind of thing like that. No, he goes from darkness. That light shined in his face, and it was the light of the Lord. And from that moment, he's walking in light. Absolutely astounding. Now, you read his little biography that's laid out here, and you just have to say, you know, if that guy can be saved, then all things are possible. Troublemakers, I mean, whoever they are, troublemakers can become peacemakers. Drunks can become sober. Dopers can become clean. Thieves, honest. Adulterers, straight and clean and moral. No good husbands, all at once, they become good men. Wives that have been on the wrong track, they become good persons. Even liberals can get it. Amen. By the way, they need it badly. So yeah, all things are possible. I read that one chapter in the Bible and I can stand up, raise the flag, and tell you that all things are possible. If that man can get saved, I'm telling you. Now, not only did he get saved, but he began to grow spiritually. I mean, in a hurry. You know, it's just absolutely exciting to see somebody come to Christ and then just see them all at once. I mean, you can see they're shedding the shackles of the old life and grabbing a hold of everything that they read. I mean, how exciting and thrilling that is. Anytime and every time you see it, whether it's a teenager or a senior adult or somebody in between, it's absolutely thrilling. Saul began to grow spiritually, and he set out immediately to serve the Lord. Here's another thing. Sometimes we're, you know, we know, man, this guy, you know, he lived off over here, off over there somewhere. Yeah, he came, he got saved. But boy, we know what a bad reputation he's got. And so sometimes it's like, you know, we're gonna kind of hold him at a distance for about 5 years to see if he's for real. Now, the reputation may be bad enough that we may do like they did and kind of test him out a little bit. But at the same time, I'm convinced that when a person comes to Christ, there's something they can do that'll let them serve the Lord on day one. Day one. Now, we may not let them in the quartet. Not yet. You know, they may not be the person that'll conduct the Wednesday night Bible study when pastor's off on vacation. Not yet. But there's something that every person can do at the very beginning of their Christian life. And you know, if I got the right spirit and attitude, I ought to be willing to do the little things and build up. I've told young people all over the country, if you want a job that pays money and you want to be managing McDonald's, get a job at McDonald's, clean the bathrooms, and be the best hamburger flipper they ever had. You'll find yourself in grand position if you just take a hold wherever they need you. One of the things I love about the people who work with us at the Sword of the Lord, we've got about 35 employees, and I'm telling you, the whole crowd, if I walk to the far end of the hall or go over to the print shop and say to anybody on any of them, men or women, if I say to them, you know, today we've got this project or whatever, and I'm going to need you to leave your regular job and go help with that. I'm telling you, my crowd, Brother Jerry, you know them. I never have to worry that somebody's going to make a face at me. Never. Because they're precious. And they serve the Lord with delight. And some of them been there a few years, a lot of years in some cases. And some of them just came to work this year. But the kind of Christian heart and spirit that just says, just plug me in, you know. And I'm just telling you, you get saved and you start growing. You can set out immediately and serve the Lord. Now, it may take you some time, as it did Saul, to gain influence with your peers. They may look at you and say, hey, dude, I remember. I remember. And you may have to just determine you're not going to react to that, but you're going to let them have time to discover the new you. And reputation and testimony do take time. But Saul got it going pretty great. And the thing I love it is the church has benefited so much. This one guy getting saved, and all at once the churches can just breathe. I mean, it's like that guy is off our back. He's one of us. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, and by the way, one other thing here that I'm just thinking about. One thing this little biography proves, no matter what that past life has been, you can start over again. You can start fresh. That can be done with God's help. And when you come to Christ, that's the beginning point. when you sign up by faith, trust him. Now, folks, who would have dreamed? Who, Christian or otherwise, would have dreamed that Saul of Tarsus would become Paul the Apostle? Saul became Paul, changed his name. The persecutor became a preacher. Who would have dreamed that that would be the case? Who would have dreamed that he would have such impact on so many people all across that part of the world? Who would have dreamed that he would write 13 books of the New Testament? And if you happen to think he wrote Hebrews, that would be 14. I personally think Luke did it, but anyway, that's just me. But at least he's got his signature on 13 of them. I mean, what does this tell us? It tells us the gospel works. If we'll work it. The gospel does work. The word of God is powerful. And when you and I stay in the gospel preaching business, the Bible preaching, teaching business, then there are people in and around Jacksonville, Sullivan, Linton, Brazil, all these burgs around us here. There are some people in those towns. They may or may not be as ornery, as wicked as Saul was, but they may be far enough in that direction that they would be looked on as a tough case. But I'm telling you, when I look at the conversion of Saul as is laid out here in this chapter, and I tell you once again, this is a big chapter. Because of what it tells me about what you and I can do in Jacksonville and these surrounding areas, and what I know can be true for every single person who walks through these doors. In fact, if I'm talking to somebody now, you're listening to what I've had to say about that, and you have to say, well, I've come this far. I'm not a Christian. I don't know about all that. I'm just telling you, the same God, the same Lord Jesus, the same salvation, the same gospel story, that Jesus died on the cross, paid your sin debt, purchased salvation for you, and then he arose from the grave so he could be available to us to provide that for us whenever you and I come along. And he went back to heaven. He's waiting for us there. And whenever you come to Christ, he's going to start building something for you there unlike anything you've seen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I read those descriptions in the book of Revelation about heaven. Wow. Betty and I live in a suburb, not a suburb, but in a, what's the term? Housing development, subdivision. Couldn't think of it. Three and four bedroom homes. We have a nice brick home, but about 10, 12 blocks from us in another development, somebody has built a house, painted it white. It is huge. I mean, like maybe twice the size of this building. Huge. And it's white. So sometimes I just drive around through there. I'm at the White House today. See, I only do stuff like picking on my friends like Brother Ross. And I always own up to my mischief when I do it. But, you know, I look at, and I don't even know who lives in the place. It's got an iron fence around it. And it's great. But I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to heaven. Nothing compared to what the Lord will make ready for every single one of us. And I don't even begin to know the details except just the little dab of stuff the Bible tells me. It tells me. You say, if you were invited to go to that White House there in your neighborhood, if you were invited to go over there for dinner some night, would you go? I think I'd probably check it out. Yeah. I figure if they can put a house like that together, think what they'll do at the dining room table. Amen? So I think probably, yeah, if I get an invitation, I'll probably go. Now, the God who created this world and created all of us, and we can look around us at the universe, we can look around us, the fall foliage and, the birds that fly through the air, a lot of things. We can look at it and say, God put that together. God built that. God created that. And now then, he tells us he's making heaven for us. That just tells me if he can do all of this that I can see with my eyes, and he promises me that heaven's going to be something real special. That ought to light me up. And I just want you to know I'm not his special case. The day I got saved, I got in on what a lot of other people got in on, and I'm telling you the same thing that I got and others right here have gotten, he makes available to you as well. God wants to save you if you're not saved. And when Jesus went to the cross and arose from the grave, he was paying the debt so you can get in free of charge. You get in without having to check your pocketbook. You get in without having to, climb tall mountains or swim wide rivers. You're going to get in on his payment. He paid the whole debt. I ask you to stand up with me. We're going to bow in prayer. Pastor will be here at the front. Others will be here to meet you. If you don't have this nailed down, if you don't have it settled, if I were to ask you, do you know for sure that if you died today that you'd go to heaven? If you have to hesitate and you say, I'm not sure, why don't you let one of our good workers sit down with you with an open Bible and help you to get that settled today? The Lord loves you and wants to provide it for you. And I'm going to ask you, would you please let him have his way? Maybe somebody needs to come and join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you're saved and baptized or willing to be, you'd be more than welcome. Other reasons why you may want to find your way to this altar. Dear Lord, I pray that you're going to help us today to just let the sweet Spirit of God work in our midst. And Lord, help us all to be yielding ourselves to you and putting our faith where our faith needs to be. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. Hear our prayer now, I pray. In Jesus' precious name.